Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, hosted by author Michael DeCamp and his family. Recorded in the Cutter's Notch studios, this podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll find interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, and performers, as well as friendly banter about any number of topics. Turn up the volume, listen, and catch up on what's happening in Cutter's Notch.
Hey, hello, everyone. This is your host, Michael DeCamp, and welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast. We have a special episode this particular time. We're doing another flash interview session with the authors at the Books and Brew Author Fair on the south side of Indianapolis. But before we jump into that, Nancy has a few things to say.
Yes, this is Nancy here, and I'm so glad you're joining us and hearing from multiple authors today. But I want to do a quick shout out to our sponsor, Ash and Elm Hard Cider Company on the east side, on East Washington Street, Indianapolis. Definitely look them up. Lots of creative flavors and a great restaurant, too. If you're local to Indianapolis, great place to go try out the food. Thanks to Ash and Elm.
Oh, we love Ash and Elm. We do. So we have with us first today my friend Charles Kelly. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Oh, good. I got my friend's name right. That's really good.
Well done.
He still has his faculties about him.
So
he's off to a good start.
Hey, very good. He's one of the authors here at the author fair.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit of what you got. Tell us about your books and how you got into writing and how we can find your books, stuff like that.
Yeah. So I'll start with how I got into writing. I have just always enjoyed reading. And so at one point, I just got this harebrained idea that I liked reading. Maybe I could try writing. And so I
had that same harebrained idea.
Yeah.
You know, a couple harebrains here.
Yeah, too bad we don't have hair.
Yeah, tell me about it. So at some point, I just started working on some short stories, and that developed into bigger stories. And so then I ended up with my series of just general fiction, kind of action adventure novels over here. The Kings of Chaos Motorcycle Club series, Outlaw Bikers, Undercover Federal Agent, Bad Dad Jokes, Cheesy Innuendos, Dry Sarcasm, you know, all the good stuff.
Interesting.
I especially like Bad Dad Jokes.
They're fun.
Yeah, they're my favorite.
Yeah.
So cool. How long have you been doing this?
I think the first book came out in 2016, and I started writing short stories probably a couple of years before that. So about, 2014-ish.
Very good. How many books you got out now? How many are in the Kings of Chaos series?
Currently three. I'm working on book four. And then I've also done a children's book. It's got a little kind of inside joke for the parents. If you have to read the same kid's book over and over, you might as well get a little chuckle out of it.
Right. So I always like the kids' books the most I knew that it went over the kids' heads what was there, but
so it's about an impossibly buoyant toy boat. It's called My Ship Don't Sink. So trying to get a 2 or 3 year old to say My Ship Don't Sink doesn't always come out that way. So that's kind of the joke in there. And then I've done a couple anthologies with other authors as well that I've put together and edited and put out. A
couple of those guys are here, right?
Yeah, George Kramer and Ben O'Neill are both here today as well.
Yeah, I hope to have them on here in a little bit. So where do we find your books?
My website is www.ckfiction.com.
Very awesome. Good. Now we have to do a random question.
Sure.
So I wasn't sure I was going to do this, and then Charles and I are sitting right next to each other at this author fair, and I've got all my books displayed. He's got all his books displayed, and I set up all the podcast stuff, and he looks at me a little bit ago and he goes, "Are we going to do the random question box again?" So, because he was on the author fair flash author
previous and the previous
in the previous edition.
So I was not part of that podcast. Is this one where you and I have to answer
No.
Oh, this is just the author.
Author.
I like this. This
pressure's
is awesome.
Yeah.
I would have given you some more questions to throw in there.
I think I called it the box of death, maybe.
Yeah, you did. You referred it to the box of death. The last time we did this, I actually forgot to ask a couple authors to do it. So they got off the hook, but not you.
No,
not
here
you.
We go.
And
here
give us your best creative answer.
I'll see what I can come up with. Oh.
Try to be truthful.
Oh, this one won't be a problem.
Okay.
Cats or dogs, and why? And that's there's no question for that. Dogs.
Yes.
Absolutely dogs.
Yay.
He's a dog man.
Yeah.
Do you have a dog?
Not anymore.
Okay. Sorry.
Thank you. But no, we had a Boston Terrier, and we lost him a couple of years ago, and he was great. Loved him. The boys, our sons, loved him to death. But growing up, I lived in rural southern Indiana, mm-hmm. and my mom was a big cat person. And people tend to drop pets off in the country when they don't want them.
Yeah, they just let them go.
At one point in time, we were feeding 37 cats.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. And this all for drop-offs? Or was that like some baby cats along the way, too?
Yeah. So it started with some drop-offs and then reproduced and grew into 37 cats.
Now, I have heard that about rural areas, but I learned recently that people in the city do that in the city parks. So like Garfield Park, Brookside, you know, the parks that are local,
yep.
they tend to drop off the animals there.
Wow. No, that just seems nuts.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Yeah. And those cats are not friendly. You know, they've been betrayed. They've lived a hard life.
I have a friend who has said the only reason that cats are not serious killers is about 30 pounds. You give them 30 pounds and then they become serious predators.
I think there's a
story. Opposable thumbs, I think.
I think there's a story in there somewhere. I like that title. Those cats are not friendly.
There you go.
Yeah. So
there's some inspiration, some creative inspiration.
All right, Charles. Thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
If you could run off and go find our next victim, that would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Check out Charles' books.
Yeah, absolutely. The Kings of Chaos. I've got to check those out myself. So
I'm in for the My Ship Don't Sink.
Yeah, we're going to get some kids to say that three times really fast.
Sounds good. All right, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, folks, while we're waiting for our next person to come on, I will also add that I've got all of my books out here, and obviously by the time you hear this, this will not be going on anymore, but I have added a new feature when I'm displaying my books. I started creating prints of my Henry the Preacher comics. So if you'd like to see those comics, they're on my website, www.authormicheldecamp.com, and look for the tab for Henry the Preacher.
And you tend to add them whenever you do a new blog.
When I do a new newsletter.
Newsletter, okay.
I add a Henry the Preacher comic, and they will be available for purchase. So that's the news. So we've got our next
victim?
Our next creative. Yeah, so lean on into the microphone there and introduce yourself. Tell us who you are.
Hi, I'm Chris Clouser. I'm a local writer based out of Fishers, Indiana. Do a lot of fiction and some nonfiction.
Stay up on the microphone. It's very directional. Right. So,
don't look at Mike. Just look at me.
Yeah, look at Nancy. Well, she's better to look at anyway. So tell us about your books, Christopher.
Right now I'm in the middle of a mystery series about private detective based here in Indianapolis who breaks up bad guys and puts them in jail. So.
You have any personal experience that you base your writing on?
No, not really, but a lot of wishful thinking maybe involved in that. So
you're using actual locations and real Indianapolis features. And
Yeah. The first book in the series is really set a lot in downtown Indianapolis. So he lives in an apartment in the old blocks building.
Yeah.
Works in the Market Tower and goes around the circle.
So very relatable for people who know the area.
Yeah, definitely.
And how many books are in your series?
So there's going to be three. I just released the second one about a month ago. Mm-hmm. The second one's actually set in Seattle because he's got a son that lives out there. So he goes out there to spend the holidays with him.
And okay.
Has some chaos related to having to deal with the ex-wife and bringing along his girlfriend, but also gets involved.
Ex-wives and girlfriends.
Drama.
Somehow that just doesn't
I'm saying
mix.
There's drama know, with it, the intrigue, right?
Instant conflict. and then he also stumbles upon a child abduction and kidnapping ring.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So kind of busts into that world a little bit. And with this series, I'm also trying to focus on some big issues that we see in today's society, like fraud in local government and child abduction, and sure. The next book's going to deal a lot with drug addiction and opioids specifically. And
do you do a lot of research, or are you?
A little bit, especially on the real aspects of the issues I'm I deal with in the book. So right now I'm doing research about synthetic drugs. They're coming into the country, like fentanyl and some other things. They're coming from Mexico or through China.
Yeah.
And the impacts of those type of addictions and what they have on the family.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I bet you're learning a lot through that.
Yeah.
Maybe more than what you want to.
Well, yeah. Some of it's, we have some issues within our extended family and stuff too, so it's kind of illuminating some things to me about that too. So.
Right. But.
So what's the titles of your books?
So this mystery series, the first one is called As the City Burns. The second one's The Young and the Wicked. The third one, I haven't decided on the real title yet, but it's probably... So with this series, I'm also kind of alluding to, I don't know if you noticed or not, but like soap opera
titles. I was going to say, as soon as you said Young and Wicked, I'm like, Young and the Restless.
Yep. As the World Turns, The City Burns. So the last one is probably going to be like something like The Gold in Their Eyes is what I'm leaning towards, which would be Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
So kind of...
I like that.
The Bold and the Dangerous.
Yeah, if I do a fourth one, maybe I'll think about that one. So, but yeah.
Where can people find your books?
So it's available on Amazon. Also, reach out to me directly at KlauserWritesBooks.com. So,
Klauser?
Or WordPress.com, sorry.
Okay. Yep. Okay, so give it to us again.
KlauserWritesBooks.wordpress.com.
And Klauser is spelled C-L-O-U-S-E-R.
Correct.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, you need to pull
a random
question from this box, and you're the only one who gets to answer it.
Give us your best answer.
So my question, where was your very first date? How about that? I'm sure it was pretty boring. What do you think? So it would have been a movie. We would have gone to a movie probably... by the Anderson Mounds Mall.
Yeah.
The movie theater was back behind there.
Right.
Probably did something like Pizza Hut or something like that for dinner, because there was probably a Pizza Hut right there by the mall. So it was probably pretty simple. I mean, it was pretty standard stuff.
That's what you did back in the day, right?
Pretty standard stuff for a kid that was working at a grocery store and had limited income. So.
Yeah, tell me about it. I think usually I took my dates to Wendy's.
Oh, yeah.
We were big Pizza Hut, though, when we were dating, so maybe you were doing a little bit better by then.
Yeah, by then I was actually working or something. But when I was in high school, it was Wendy's.
Okay.
So, and I won't tell you, I mean, we usually didn't park right by the door. We parked in the back somewhere.
Uh-oh.
That was probably not a good idea, but hey, we did it.
It wasn't like to facilitate like a dine and dash or anything.
No, it was to facilitate something else, but that we won't go into that.
All right.
Not with my wife right here listening.
Yeah.
So, Christopher, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
No problem.
If you could go find one of the other authors to be the next victim, that would
be
awesome.
I will do that.
And everybody look up Christopher's books.
Absolutely. At, how's it go?
KlauserWritesBooks.wordpress.com.
Very good.
Awesome.
Thanks, Christopher.
Thank you. Hello.
Introduce yourself and welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast.
Thank you. My name's Ben O'Neill, and I write mystery novels. My first three are like Criminal Minds on TV, but based around Indianapolis and up and down I-69. They're called, the first one is Die Laughing. It's a serial killer who's a stand-up comedian. And the second one is a guy who's killing child molesters and leaving them along I-69. Everybody's saying, hey, just let him keep going. And even the investigator chasing him is saying the same thing, but he's got to catch the man.
He's got to catch and do his job.
And then the third one is about childhood trauma that happened during a thunderstorm, and now the rainy day killer is out seeking vengeance.
Wow.
And I've got, my first book was a sci-fi. It's called The Serpent's Gift. It's a story of good and evil, galactic war where heaven and hell are real planets and real living beings. But the twist is, heaven is the seat of the bad guys.
Ooh, interesting.
That is a twist.
Yeah, I mean, in this one, Jesus is so bad, he might slit your throat just for spilling something in front of him.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you're flipping the script on there.
Yeah, oh, definitely yes. Flip the script.
Yeah, that it is kind of wild. And then my last book is it's a collection of 14 short stories of all different genres. Some of them are within that crime universe, some science fiction, some love stories, some time travel. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Very good.
Very interesting. So how do people, where do they go to find your books?
Well, mostly it's going to be Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I publish all my stuff. And I try to do various things around
the
comic conventions and malls, libraries.
Right, right.
On Amazon, is it under Ben or under Benjamin?
Benjamin O'Neill.
Benjamin O'Neill.
Spell the O'Neill, because there's a couple ways to spell it, right?
Well, it's O, no apostrophe, just O little N-E-A-L.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. Good. So check them out. Ben O'Neill on Amazon.
Benjamin O'Neill.
Benjamin, sorry.
Yeah, Benjamin O'Neill.
But you know what? They say you learn more from mistakes
than you do. You could end up in, you know, one of his stories, because you live in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah.
You could be one of those.
So would I be a victim or a bad guy?
Could be both.
Yeah, right. Well, it sounds like for those people who really like those true crime kind of podcasts and stuff, your stuff might be right up their alley.
They would have fun with it. They'd have fun with it.
It sounds like that one sounds a little bit like Dexter. You know,
the serial killer that kills
on the years kills child molesters.
Yes. And, you know, I tell you what, if they ever look up my search engine on my computer, they're going to
You'd be in trouble.
Yeah, that's a problem with authors. You can get in all kinds of trouble, and all you're doing is just kind of researching a story.
Yeah,
I found out one time that I made a mistake in something. He kills the child molesters by cutting their hands off, and he just was going to let them bleed out. But I found out by doing research, you don't necessarily bleed out if you get your hands cut off. They have a clot long before that.
Yeah, they might clot up before.
It's good to know that kind of stuff, though, because you will have a physician or coroner or somebody would be like, dude, this is way off. So
I know it.
Good on the research.
All right, Ben, you know, one of the things that we do with this thing is we have this random question box, and
you're on the hot seat.
Everybody gets to pull a question, and you're the only one who gets to answer it. So if you don't mind, pull a question out of here, and let's hear what you have to say. So let's see what your question is.
Will you have sex with anybody here? No.
I'm sorry. Pretty sure that one's not in there.
I think you took some creative license with that.
Yeah, a little creative license. There might be a serial killer involved in that, too. Lean into the mic again.
Okay, what is the craziest thing you've ever done?
That you care to share.
Well, unfortunately, when I was younger, I actually broke into somebody's house and, you know, didn't steal anything. Just for the fun of me and a couple other guys.
Yeah, yeah.
But
was it somebody you knew?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it was just something we did, and it is when I was a kid.
It is, you know.
And I hated myself for it, and I still hate myself for
it. When you're young, though, that's when you make those kinds of decisions, typically.
You know, it's funny, Ben, when I was a kid, one of my school classmates, by the way, I need that question back. We have one of my classmates from school, Patty, and if she listens to this, hi, Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Her dad was my scoutmaster, and I went down to ask him something one day because he lived about a block from me, and they didn't answer the door. So I just went in. I went in the back door, and I looked all over their house, went all the way upstairs. And I'm like, then it suddenly occurred to me,
what am I doing here?
Why am I in their house?
Yeah.
Why did they leave it open?
Well, you know, back in the day,
everybody left it open.
But I didn't take anything. I didn't touch anything. I didn't go snooping in anything other than I just walked through their house. And I'm like, why am I doing this? Uh-huh. You know, that's probably one of my credits. I'm not usually answering these questions, but for this time. But
for this time,
figured I would join.
Interesting.
But when one thing is got me interested in the criminal mind is when I worked at GM and Anderson as a designer, I actually worked with a guy they called the Indiana Bluebeard. He killed his mom, probably his dad, and three wives.
Wow.
And I actually dated the sister of the third wife he killed. So,
wow.
You know, I worked with a guy one time that it came out later. He was a serial killer here in Indiana. And I remember it came on the news, and I was like, I know him. Yeah. I've had lunch with him with the group of people. It was like,
you never really know.
Something. You just don't know, right?
I mean, we've all probably met Syracuse.
Not realized it.
Not known it.
So I don't mean to scare you guys out there.
All right, Ben, thanks for joining us. If you could go find our next victim, just pick one of the other authors and send them up to me, if you would.
Okay,
and
I sure will.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you guys are in for a treat now.
Now's the time to run.
Yeah, we've got a special treat coming. He's walking around the table. He calls himself, a glory hound. But go ahead and put the microphone on.
The headphones.
Yeah, headphones.
Speak into the microphone. Don't look at Mike. You just need to speak directly into the mic.
Sure.
Yeah, lean up on it because it's very directional and we got background noise.
Good to see you.
Good seeing you.
So introduce yourself. Tell us who you are.
My name is George Kramer. I'm a multi-genre author with 20 books and 4 in the works.
He is prolific.
Yes.
Well, 3 are sequels. They're based on people wanting a sequel. So I figured I'd write it, and then I'm writing a different genre as well.
So tell us all your genres that you've explored with.
Well, I have a 9-book series. I consider it YA, but I have it for 9 and older.
Mm-hmm.
I've had 9-year-old boys and girls love it. I've had doctors and surgeons love it because I work at a hospital.
Uh-huh.
Then I have a murder mystery that is one of my best sellers. And based on the feedback I got, only like 3 or 4 people figured out who did it. I have three books. One, they're all faction. It's, do you take facts and you build a fiction story around it?
Right.
One is a supernatural. It's called Vampires of the 8. It's based on 8 different human blood types, from O negative to AB positive. So not all vampires can take blood from every human. It depends on the blood type.
Interesting.
Now, George, you know blood type. You know blood stuff, right?
Yes.
he's got a real day job that actually helps him know some of this stuff.
Yes, I do, and I joke around with people when I have to get blood.
Yeah.
That I carry a stake in my socks, and some people, a wooden stake in my socks, and some people look at me as like, you know, blood, vampires.
Right.
And then I have 2 medical horrors that make Stephen King look tame. It's anybody that's heard of organ donation, then there's something called tissue donation. Basically, it's from expired people, but it's still for donation. So I've surgically removed almost every body part from corpses.
Right.
I've taken the heart, the skin, the bones, tendons, mandible. But the serial killer actually takes people, abducts them, and takes out their body parts while they're alive. So it makes Stephen King look tame, and it's very
But
graphic.
Some people are really into that kind of thing.
You know who's really into it? Interestingly enough, are shy people. People that I
gotta watch out for the quiet ones, right?
Exactly. And then I have a murder mystery based on different colored roses. Each one denotes a certain thing, and then in the beginning of the chapter, I write poems based on what the chapter is going to be, pertaining to the poem. And with the 9-book fantasy series, it's also based on colors. You have 3 primary colors, red, blue, and yellow.
Right.
And they're the primary sorcerers. And then you have secondaries, which are the offshoots, like when a blue-powered sorcerer marries a red-powered sorcerer, a purple-powered baby is born. And at the end of the story, you find that the secondaries, the cold secondaries, are not as powerful, and they feel like they're not being treated fairly, so a war erupts between the primaries and secondary sorcerers. So it's very, very relative to today, what's
right,
going on.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. Well.
So, George, where do people find your books?
Amazon. Amazon.com/author/George Kramer.
And Kramer with a K?
Yes, K-R-A-M-E-R. Some people spell it with an A-E, 2 M's, no, just K-R-A-M-E-R.
Okay.
Do you have your own website too, or is it just Amazon?
At this point, it's just Amazon.
Okay. Awesome. So those of you who like all of those genres, there's certainly plenty to choose from.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, he's got a following because I worked the Christmas Gift and Hobby Show with George, and he was there for several days. He had a primo spot for one. But I'm told that he gets that primo spot every year. But the other thing is that his table was busy.
Awesome.
Lot.
That's yeah. great.
Yeah, so. Last year I did extremely well.
Awesome. Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah.
So check out George Kramer's books on Amazon. And George, you got to answer one of these random
You're
questions.
You're required to answer a random question. You're on the hot seat.
That's part of the deal.
Okay. Oh, I think I got two.
Okay. Yeah, only one.
Okay. Question is, tell us about a childhood crush.
Thank
God I don't live in New York anymore. Do you have listeners in New York?
Probably. Probably your old crush.
Yeah.
I'll just have to say her first name was Barbara.
Barbara.
Yeah.
How young was that? Were you? How old?
Junior high.
Okay.
So,
love is really blind at that point. It's all emotion.
I had a crush on my ninth grade business teacher, too.
Oh, okay.
So, that's all it turned into is crush. So.
Yeah. And it's probably better off at this point.
Yeah, because she was a lot older than me.
Right.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, the fact that, you know, it was just a crush kept her out of prison.
Yes, so, and me.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, George, thank you very much for being on the Cutter's Notch podcast. And, you know, perhaps we'll have you back at some point
yeah.
with a broader interview. If you could now go find another one of the authors and send them up here, that would be awesome.
Sure. S-H-O-R-E.
Hello, and welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And sure. Introduce yourself. Who are you?
My name is Dustin Cowell. I wrote Flight of the Chosen, and it's going to be a four-book series.
Nice. Flight of the Chosen. What's yeah. that about?
It is about a young elf who basically finds himself mixed up in a prophecy that he sees more as of a curse, and he is now being hunted by a king that does not like him, and he's also, the prophecy is predicting that an even worse person than the king will come back, and so he is on the run. And his goal is to get to the only being that can reverse the prophecy for him, which is the black dragon that gave it to him.
Wow. I like that kind of thing.
You've got elves and dragons and kings.
Yeah. Oh, got all of it.
All right. Now I have to ask on the elves, are they elves like are in the Lord of the Rings, like very valor elves, or are they more of them like the Harry Potter elves that are more modest and less,
in your face.
I would say they're probably closer to the Lord of the Rings version, but I wouldn't say they have all that grace that maybe you're used to out of an elf. They're a little bit different. I made them, I guess, maybe a little bit more balanced to some of the other races that are in there as well. They're not that all-powerful one that everyone looks to typically.
Right,
so you got some other races in there,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
So what else you got? What else is in this book?
So we've got orcs in there. We have humans. We have elves. And then we have a race that I made up, which is called the Tetrans, which are basically four-armed humanoids that also live in this land as well. There used to be dwarves, but they're gone now. And so it's...
Are you related to J.R.R. Tolkien?
I wish. I really wish. I'm actually reading Lord of the Rings right now. Yeah. So.
Well, how did you come up with this idea? Where did this come from?
Actually, my buddy and I, we've loved fantasy ever since we were kids, and we used to read it all the time. We used to play a lot of games that involve fantasy. And eventually, we were just kind of like, we want to write something. We want to create something that other people can enjoy, because we just lived in books, so we kind of came up with this idea when we were about, I think we came up with it when we were like 12 years old. So we've had it for a while. I had a lot of failed attempts at writing it, and eventually I sat down and I was like, I'm doing it this time. And I made an outline, and I got through the first book, and I'm hoping to get through the last three.
Awesome.
But yeah, it's been a long road.
I'll just tell you that. It gets easier.
I'm going to take your word for it. I haven't hit that point yet, but it's been fun.
The idea for my first book, Abandoned Hope, which, by the way, has elves in it also.
Oh, perfect.
Not to the extent.
Like the Tolkien's elves.
Yeah.
They're probably closer to the Harry Potter elves, although they're not wimpy.
Yeah.
They're just not, you know, they don't carry swords necessarily. But at any rate, my first idea for that first book started with just a little seed of an idea in like 1988 or 89. And I carried that around until like...
Just thinking.
Yeah, how long did it take you?
20 years before I started writing.
Before even like writing it, it was just an idea that sat there?
Yeah, and I started writing it around 2009 or 2010. I didn't actually finish the story until 2014.
Yeah.
And then I didn't get it published until 2017.
I feel like that first one is always the hardest.
It's the hardest
one.
That's what I hear.
Trying to figure it out.
Yeah, so... once you get past that first one, it starts to flow. You kind of know what you're doing a little bit more. You kind of know more the ins and the outs of the process.
Get into a rhythm.
You develop that, like that, almost like that pattern that you need to be able to just knock it out, basically.
Well, and you've set your world up, right?
Yeah,
with your first story, you've established your world.
And the world only expands from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And the hardest thing, I think, is when you create the rules of the world.
Yeah.
Is when you actually have to write those out and be like, okay, what can and can't happen here?
Yeah.
And then you start finding yourself breaking the rules. And it's like, wait a minute.
And well, usually someone else catches you breaking the rules.
You just read on this chapter, but then you did this on that chapter. You're like, oh.
Right. So give us your name again.
Dustin Cowell.
Dustin Cowell.
Yep.
How do you spell the last name?
C-O-W-E-L-L.
Okay. And where do we find this book?
So my book is actually on Amazon right now, and then wherever I kind of end up, I know I'm going to be at the Indianapolis Comic Con as well.
Nice.
And so, yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
Are you going to dress up for it? You should dress up as an elf.
As an elf, yes. Do it.
I'm not fair enough to be an elf. I can say that right now.
Makeup.
Well, we actually, we have a cosplay helmet made for it. It doesn't fit me. I have a very small head, but for anyone to try on as well, too. So I'll probably have that and put it on occasionally from time to time just
too
to feel,
fun.
Feel like I'm part of the
moment.
I'm
going to come and be the elf.
You're more than welcome. Like I said, you'll do better than I will.
All right, so give us the name of the book again.
Flight of the Chosen.
Flight of the Chosen by Dustin Cowell on Amazon. Do you have a website?
No, I do not.
You don't have a website?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, very cool.
Well, Amazon's where all the cool kids hang out.
Yeah,
so.
I hang out there too.
All right, before you leave.
All right.
You're on the hot seat.
Oh, boy.
This is a random question box.
Boy.
There's no telling what the question is, but you're the only one who gets to answer it.
All right.
Usually when we do a broader interview, we stick all of us with that question, but.
Not today.
Not today. It's just you. So
awesome.
Good luck with it.
Whew, let's go for this one. It looks smaller. Oh, it's going to fold out. Awesome. Do you believe in UFOs and aliens? Why or why not? 100%. No doubt in my mind. This universe is way too big. I think you'd have to be crazy to think that there's not something out there at this point. They've got those telescopes that see all the way back to the Big Bang at this point, too.
Right.
And they've found what would be the precursors of life at a lot of different planets and planets that would sustain life. So there's no way there's not.
Have you ever seen one?
I wish. Not yet. Only in books. Only books and movies.
I have seen a UFO.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was unidentified. It was flying, and it was an object. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was weird because it was stationary. It was just sitting there in the night sky, and then all of a sudden, it just shot to the south so fast it disappeared immediately.
Yeah.
So I actually kind of consider that a UFO.
So it sounds like a lot of us are believing in UFOs here.
Yeah.
Even though I was the one that answered the question, it sounds like a lot of us are believing in UFOs and aliens.
The truth is out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Well, hey, Dustin, thank you very much for being on the Cutter's Notch podcast.
Yeah.
And if you could go find somebody else to be the next victim.
Awesome.
That'd be great.
It's an opportunity. It's no victim. There's no victim.
There you go.
Opportunity.
There you go.
I appreciate you having that position.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank
you're
you,
very
Dustin.
Welcome.
Yeah, awesome.
Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast. If you would just start off by telling us your name and tell us a little bit about your book.
Okay. Well, my name is J.P. Hartman, and my book is The Wingman. It is about how it is how a black homeless man became his city's superhero.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
So what prompted you to write this book?
A few things. One of which was actually I'm a big superhero fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into all the nerdy stuff. And
you just like superheroes, or just you're a big superhero fan?
I'm a big superhero fan.
Okay, I'm just messing with you.
Good clarification. And I was actually watching a CW show, and
they like really, superheroes on that channel.
They do.
Yeah, and I kind of got frustrated at one of their things, and I said, you know what, I could write this better. And then I was like, wait, I can write this better, and I did.
Good for you.
Yeah. I had a lot of inspiration. I'm online a lot, and I really wanted to have a black main character because it's one of the things that you can't see enough of in this time.
Well, and you don't see many.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
And sometimes they're not really portrayed very well, and I really wanted to do that, and I did. And that's how this came about. The decision to start with Sam Farsight being black, it really helped guide the book, and it really helped with character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a very weird way. Like, it got to a point where, like, I wasn't sure if I was writing him or if he was writing me.
Okay. So you were very immersed in the process.
Very. And I would like to point out, this was a few months before the murder of George Floyd.
Okay.
So it was very shocking to me being most of the way through this story and seeing some
out.
Things that I had wrote being played out in real life.
Wow.
Like, it was...
surreal.
Very, very surreal. I felt so bad. And I don't know what else to say on that.
Right,
front.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do they say a lot of times? I don't know if I say it right, truth mimics fiction or vice versa.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Truth creates fiction, which creates truth. Something like that. Reality mirrors fiction.
Somebody Google that quote
reality.
For us. Yeah.
somebody message us and tell us what we're doing.
Tell us what that quote is.
Something like that.
So did you think, obviously you saw all the shows and you said, I could do this better. Did you ever think prior to this that, I'm going to write a book someday?
Oh, actually, I am already a published author before this.
Okay.
Yeah, my first story, A Treasure Made of Death, is on Amazon right now. It's been out for 2 years.
Is it under the same name? Is it
J.P. Hartman? Yes.
Okay. Is it J.P. Hartman?
Oh, you noticed.
J.P.
Yeah, that's actually my first initial spelled out. I'm really quirky.
Okay. J.A.Y.P.
Hartman.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's important
it's traditional.
Because if people are going to...
If they want to look you up, they want to find you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're hoping that somebody from listening to this podcast will look your work up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, want to make sure we get the details right for you.
Yeah.
So where all would we find your writings?
Okay, well, A Treasure Made of Death is unfortunately only available through Amazon. I was young and naive. I'm so
right.
sorry.
Right. Yeah. All writers go through that learning process, right?
Uh huh. And so that's why with the second one, I went through Ingram Spark, a much better platform. Their expanded distribution has me in bookstores everywhere worldwide. So you really just need to look up The Wingman by J.P. Hartman, and
it will take you.
It.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
It's doing really well. I just circulated an image, just the cover image online. Uh-huh. My wife did the cover, by the way. It is amazing.
It is beautiful.
Uh-huh. This is quite frankly way better than I expected. But just putting this cover out online, and it just picked up just straight away.
Because people recognized it and it drew them in and such.
Oh yeah, and the cover is just so brilliant and
nice that you could do that together.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, very. And so a lot of my early leads or my early sales actually came online before the book was done.
Wow.
So.
Now, do you have a separate website or anything like that?
Not currently, no.
Okay.
Though I am the head editor at shadowquillsinc.com.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a site that I made to edit that is focused mostly to catering to novelists.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I have a social anxiety, so I stutter a lot.
No worries. You're doing great. You're doing great.
Yeah.
Now, what you need to do before we end, and he's digressed. He's not on the job very well today, but
he's got customers.
He's selling the books, so we'll let him do that. But in the magic Tupperware box, we have a lot of questions. So just to raise your anxiety a little more.
Oh, of course.
Random questions. You get to pull one out, and you're on the hot seat. You have to answer it.
I'm going to shake it.
We won't check it. We won't check to know whether you're, telling the truth or not, but you get to answer the question.
Oh, cool.
So what question did you come up with?
Which superhero is your favorite and why?
Oh, awesome. Is that not that is serendipity?
Yes. Yes, it is.
So do you have one, or is that hard to pick just one?
It really is hard to pick. There are so many wonderfully well done superheroes. I mean, I'm an author. I'm almost legally obligated to
say your own
superhero.
Yeah, the Wingman. Absolutely.
But I think instead I will say that my favorite of all time is actually Terry McGinnis from Batman Beyond.
Okay. And why is that?
I don't know. I was very young when I started watching Batman Beyond, so that probably helped.
right.
Yeah.
So it definitely may have left an impression on
you. Yeah, and Terry McGinnis is always a little bit more Spider-Man than he was Batman.
Right.
I mean, that was the whole reason why he was able to kill the Joker.
Yeah.
And spoilers for Batman Beyond.
Yeah, sorry.
But yeah, and I will say that those classic comics mm-hmm. actually really did help influence how I wrote the various vigilantes in the world of the Wingman.
Awesome. Well, everybody, please check out the world of the Wingman. JP, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And you can leave that question here and then
in the Tupperware box.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
And then if I could ask you to go and find another author who hasn't come up yet, can you go over to the podcast table?
Okay. And I will see
I don't know who's been up here.
I've had a lot of people in and out.
A lot of background.
I don't think Savannah's been up yet.
Okay.
Maybe grab him.
Okay, yeah, that sounds wonderful.
Thank you, Jake.
Cool.
Sorry, guys, I had to step away for a minute because I actually had some folks come through and buy some of my books.
We said you were abandoning your post.
Yeah, what question did he get?
Who's your favorite superhero?
How appropriate is that?
I was like...
So we're about to get a return guest who's here for our third appearance on the podcast.
Yes.
So... Did you put that question back in?
And I was trying to look for it. So if she pulls it out, I'll tell her she can't use that
one. Okay, yeah. So.
Hello.
Hello. It's great to be back.
It's great to have you. We need to start one of those clubs. You know how Saturday Night Live has, you know, if you've been a host for five times, you get a jacket or something?
Yes, I love that.
We should do something like that.
That'd be awesome.
Now, we need to tilt that down a little bit for you. There you go.
There we go.
And, you know, just make sure you just lean right into the microphone. So.
Yes, will do. Is that better?
That's awesome.
That's great. So we got with us returning one of our more popular guests on the Cutter's Notch podcast. I told her earlier that her actual original interview is the third most listened to podcast.
That's saying something.
Yes, yeah. It's very flattering.
Because I know who the other two are. So
yeah, she's right behind some celebrities.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We've got a budding celebrity right here.
Yeah.
And tell everybody who it is.
Yes, so I'm Savannah J. Goins. I'm a dragon wrangler, and I'm the author of the Gwaithinian series, which is now a complete trilogy. All three books are out, and it's about a teenage girl, and it has magic and dragons in it, but also... it talks about, you know, getting over difficult things in the past and body positivity and handling bullies in high school.
I just love it. I love it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Now, I need to buy the third book because I've read the first two.
Yeah.
And the main, one of the key characters in the third book is introduced in the second book. And they're really pretty cool characters.
Yeah.
Creatures. And so I'm looking forward to reading about
Don't give it away.
I can give you the name of it.
Well, yeah, give it the name. Yeah.
I just can't say it properly. Cathaware?
The Cathaware. Yes, Cathaware. You nailed it. That's the one.
Oh, man. It's nice to nail something in life. So, Savannah. Go ahead.
Pardon me for interrupting. The third book just came out this last year, correct?
It did. It came out in October.
Okay.
So it's just been out for a few months.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Nancy and I have been talking about having you back since before your second one came out because we knew your second one was coming.
Yes.
But obviously we were in the middle of this little thing called COVID.
Yes.
And so we haven't been able to do it, but we want to get you on the schedules to talk more in depth.
And I would love that. The world on everything.
Yeah. And when she says she's a dragon wrangler, she really is.
Yes.
Literally, right?
Yes, literally. So I'm an exotic animal veterinary technician. And in the past, I'm actually writing full time now, but in the past, I worked at an exotic animal clinic where they saw basically everything except dogs and cats. So even some animals from the zoo sometimes came over, but there were people who like privately owned tigers. I mean, everything from betta fish to tigers. We saw it all there. So I got to see lots of dragons, lots of like bearded dragons, iguanas, crocodiles, all kinds of cool animals, savanna monitors, things like that. Yeah. And I also was an anesthetist, so I would keep them alive while they were in surgery, which was very stressful, and it fried my brain. So it was very hard to write after a 10-hour shift of keeping tiny things alive in surgery. So now I'm actually writing full-time, not just my books. I do content writing for websites, and that's my full-time job now. We just moved out to the country, and I've got a house full of little dragons.
Do you really?
I do. I've got an albino iguana, so they're normally green, but she's bright gold because she's albino.
Wow.
And I have a bearded dragon, and I have a foster bearded dragon for the rescue I work with who just had surgery. He's going to be available for adoption soon. And I have a tortoise. And all of my dragons are named after dragon characters in books, but the tortoise is named Marcia. Because she came through
Marcia,
the rescue. Yeah, she came through the rescue named Marcia, and it was such a non-tortoisey name
right?
that it just cracked me up so much, so I kept it. So she's Marcia the tortoise.
I love that. I love that.
Yes.
That's great.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Can you pet the dragons? I mean, do they like to be petted?
Yes. Some of them like it, some of them tolerate it, but I don't have any that bite. All of them are nice,
good.
Yeah.
One of my favorite book pictures for one of my books is the one that you did with the snake.
Yes, that was a ball python. I think like brown and yellow, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, that was a rescue that I was fostering that went on to be adopted afterwards.
Yeah, she took my book and wrapped a snake around it and took a picture and sent it over. It's on my website if anybody wants to see it.
But, yes.
Yeah, that's great. So how do we find your books, Savannah? What's the best way to get these crazy dragon books?
So the best place to get the dragon books is on Amazon right now. I'm going to have a direct buy like signed copies on my website. I don't currently have that, but you can send me a message. You can email me on my website, or you can find me on Instagram. And if you just let me know that you would like signed copies, I can send you those. But Instagram is where I'm the most active as far as social media goes. And so Instagram or my website are the best places to find me. I also have a YouTube channel. I'm not on there super often, but I do have some videos on there too.
Yeah. And what's your website?
It's SavannahJGoins.com.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good.
And if you want to find the books on Amazon, just search my name, because my my books are all titled after fantasy words I made up. So the Gwythinian, the Krivibanian, and the Cathawir. It's real hard to spell those.
Right.
So just search my name and they'll come up.
Sounds good.
And they are good books.
I've read both of them.
I read two of the three.
Yes.
So I need to get the third one so I can finish the trilogy.
Finish the trilogy out there.
Yes.
All right, let's give her this random question.
All right, random question.
All right.
Pulling out. If you get one, there was one that got thrown back in on my bad. So if you read that one out, you'll have to pull a different one.
What is your favorite all-time movie?
Oh.
That's a good one. It's hard to say my very favorite movie ever, but one movie I really have loved are the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Yes.
Like the first three. The fourth one is like kind of funky, but I really liked those.
Yeah.
Yeah. How
those
about
were
you guys?
Fun.
What's that?
How about you guys?
Oh, you're not allowed to ask us questions.
Oh, I don't ask you questions? That's not fair. If I'm going to get put on the spot, you should be put on the spot.
Usually, and we usually do when we do a full podcast. We say, okay, whatever the question is, we'll all participate.
Since it's you, Savannah, I'll answer.
Okay.
So my favorite, probably, when you get past, my most favorite all time is It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay, yeah.
You take a step, that's kind of in a category by itself.
Yeah.
So you take that out of the mix, and it's... The Outlaw Josie Wales.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that movie.
Clint Eastwood.
It's a good one.
Okay.
It's probably, in my mind, you know, there's three really top-tier Clint Eastwood westerns.
Yeah.
The Outlaw Josie Wales, Pale Rider, and The Unforgiven.
Okay.
And I think those three movies are awesome. But of those three, my favorite by far is The Outlaw Josie Wales.
Very cool.
So, highly recommend that.
Yeah.
Nancy, you want to answer it since it's Savannah?
Since it's Savannah.
Oh, I'm honored.
All-time favorite movie, Willy Wonka.
Really? Which one?
I like them both, but the original Gene Wilder is definitely my favorite, but I think Johnny Depp did a fun job, and that was a different kind of take or look to it.
Yeah.
I just love it because of all the creative nature of it, the color, and all the life lessons.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I think I could have just played that for my kids and say, here, live this way, you know, don't be a brat, don't do this, don't do that, you know.
Sometimes she comes in and she just, I want to watch it now.
So, I mean, a lot of great movies out there, but for some reason, that one's always all-time favorite. That puts me in a happy place.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, talking about this has reminded me of some other favorite movies, the Jurassic Park movies.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the trailer for the new Jurassic Park movie?
No.
Okay. Just... people like riding horses next to dragons running through the snow. I was just like, I want to be those people. I want to chase down the dinosaurs. I want to tame them and become their friend. I mean, like, not all of them are nice.
Right.
But I just love those movies, especially the newer ones. I really enjoy those because dinosaurs are really close to dragons.
Well, yeah. Awesome.
Well, awesome. Thanks for being on the flash interviews.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And I have a job for you now. Okay. If you could go find the next victim or guest. I think we're probably going this way now.
Okay.
There's a couple of one? Two or three ladies over on this, or a couple of ladies and a guy over here.
All right.
Were.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
One of them and say,
have
hey.
We done this corner over here?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think we've done everybody but Kendall, who has disappeared. So I'm not sure where he's at.
But all right, I'll go that way then.
This corner past George is it.
Okay.
Thank you, Savannah. Those folks that came up while we were finishing up with J.P. Hartman said that they looked through all the different authors that were going to be here, and I was the one they wanted to come.
Really?
Yeah, they were after my books.
So, well, I hope they like them.
I do, too.
That's
do
very too. Cool that they came
she,
out to
she
do
said,
that.
She said my stuff looked like it was right up her alley.
Nice. So. Well, and there seems to be a good variety here. And I love the idea and the concept that you're supporting local authors, people who are right here or near to here, and you get a chance to meet them and know a little bit about their they're doing, what motivated them, how they got into it. I like that.
That's pretty awesome, isn't it? And I like doing it because I can meet a lot of new authors. Well, hello, welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell us who you are and tell us about your book.
My name is Lisa Jones. My novel is Into the Sun and Shadows. My first novel, not my last.
Good.
They say you write about what you know. I was a former probation officer in Marion County for over 10 years. So I wrote a story about a probation officer that has an aging con artist client, and she doesn't want to do what she's supposed to do. So when I'm sorry, not me. sorry about that.
You've got to separate yourself from your character.
Yes, I do.
It's hard to when you're very immersed, right?
She's much cuter and younger than me.
Oh, now, don't be hard on yourself. Nobody can see you. You know,
that's true. I have a young voice.
You can, you can describe yourself however you want, and nobody will know the difference.
Well, it's probably best that she not remember me. So the client gets very aggressive and starts to threaten the probation officer, threaten her family, and she decides the best way she can prove this person's true personality and criminality is to vanish and fix things from behind the scenes somewhere else.
Wow.
So she runs into the sun and stays in the shadows.
Very interesting.
Very good. So Lisa, what made you decide I'm going to write this book?
Oh, when I was 12, I've always loved to read. And I love the library. Mm-hmm. So when I was 12, I thought, how hard could this be? And I wanted to be a writer when I grew up. And I wanted to be a private detective when I grew up. And I got kind of close. So I kind of fulfilled that dream. And I wrote this book when I was no longer a probation officer. But the story was floating around in my head for years. And one day I didn't work there anymore, and I said, I'm going to write a book. I've got all this time. So I wrote the book, and then my computer crashed, and I lost the book.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was quite a story. It's probably another book.
Yeah.
But I had it on a disc, except the disc was in the computer. And that meant that the disc was eaten by the virus as well. But I had allowed myself to print out. I wouldn't allow myself to print out every page. I waited until I had 10 pages. So every 10 pages I would print. So I had everything in, manuscript form in a binder. And that was all I had.
Oh, no. And so you had to re-enter everything.
No, I refused. I said, I did it. I wrote the book. That's all that there is to it.
Right.
And then I'm not going to redo it. And scanners were new at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So my old partner in probation had become the IT person. And they had gotten a new scanner. So she said, I can work any hours that I want to work, but I can't do it while I'm at work.
Right.
So give me the manuscript. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, your baby.
I can't give it up. She said, go to Kinko's and make a copy. And so I made a copy, gave it to her, and it took about 3 months, I think. And she scanned it all back in before and after work every day.
Wow, what a friend.
What a friend. And she's still a wonderful friend. And so the problem is when scanners were new, they don't scan exactly. So, for instance, all my commas turn to sevens. And everybody says, oh, my headset here. So everybody's like, no problem, just select all, change. And I said, I can't because I have numbers in the book. So I had to redo it all. And in the process, I ruptured a disc in my neck, and I couldn't set at the keyboard for about 4 months.
Oh, wow.
And so it was just an ordeal. And then I put it on a shelf, and it sat for 10 years probably. And went through a lot of, I went through a divorce, started a business, you know.
Life stuff.
I got married again. And the person that I married said, you know, before we got married, when we were friends, and he knew that I liked to read and write, and he's like, have you written anything? And I was like, yeah, sure. And he's like, well, what is it? You know, is it published? And I said, no. And he says, well, I want to read it. So I let him read it. I have some good friends that are here today that they wanted to read it. And I was like, well, okay, it's not like reading a book. It's, you know, a lot of pages here. And they're like, oh, we still want to do it. So they are actually, you know, those people are in my acknowledgments too, because I told them, you can read it, but you have to be honest. You have to tell me if something doesn't work. You have to tell me if you find, you know, typos, or, you know, did I repeat myself? And everybody said that they would. And you really need that. Right. And, you know, I don't want somebody just to, you know, a yes person. I want to know the difference. And so one of them said, I think she took too many baths. And I said, do you know what she was doing for a living? And he was like, oh, I didn't think about that. So, and his wife said, you're just goofy. And he is, but, you know, he's my friend. But, you know, that was something that was a man's perspective, you know.
Sure.
And so anyway, several people, you know, read it and everything. And one of the characters, one of the major characters in the book was, and all the characters are in the book, are composites of people that I know, mm-hmm. With, you know, flair that maybe I just wanted them to have.
Sure.
And everybody says that this one character is the person that I'm currently married to now.
Interesting.
And I said, but I didn't know him when I wrote it.
Wow.
So
yeah. Apparently you went
did
and found
I, dun, dun, dun. Did I manifest that? I don't know. So yeah. And when he read it, he was like,
so this is the book, though. The one that's in front of you is the book that you went through all this turmoil.
Yes.
Folks, you need to go buy this book.
Yes. Yes. So where, if they wanted to find this book, where would they go to find it?
It is through Amazon. Mm-hmm. It is entitled Into the Sun and Shadows by me, Lisa D, as in Dawn Jones. It's currently there. I have ebook and paperback. And if you buy the paperback, you can get the ebook for free. If you buy them separately, you know, the paperback, I think right now is $14.99. But if you come down here to Books and Brews, you can get it for $10.
There you go. Now, do you go out to other book fairs like this?
This
are you trying
to? This is my first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so, and I'm inspired now to get back on the second one because it is started. Some of the characters carry over into the next one.
Awesome.
Very good. So,
people always look for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't done with them.
Right, right.
They were like real to me.
Yeah, so they become part of your family.
They
almost.
Do.
Yeah.
They do. And if I talk about them, people know who I'm talking about.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
All right, Lisa, we've got one last thing for you, and that's pick a random question out of that box.
A random question.
Random question and answer.
You're the only one who gets to answer it, so sorry about that.
Okay, wait. I got to put the readers on. Oh, what fictional TV or movie character would you love to have lunch with, and why?
Wow.
Oh, okay. Well, for the ladies and myself, it would have to be Nash Bridges or Sonny Crockett, which is played by Don Johnson.
Yeah,
Miami Vice.
Right.
Love
right.
the show. Yeah. Nash Bridges. Again, crime
great
dramas.
Crime dramas, yeah. But great theme song.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was the best. That's one of the best ever.
Oh,
best
yeah.
ever theme song.
And
so.
Nash Bridges is coming. They're rebooting it.
Oh, really?
And they are. It's a miniseries on Miami Vice. It's got a new miniseries.
Oh, I didn't know
kidding.
That.
Yeah.
No
we'll have to
yeah.
check it out.
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
that's awesome. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for being on the Cutter's Notch podcast. This podcast will probably drop in a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay.
So just look up Cutter's Notch podcast on your podcast provider and check it out.
I will link it on my Facebook for other people to
awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank
and
you.
And if you could, get one of your neighbors over there to come in.
I will. I'll
that'd
try.
Be great.
I don't know if they're going to. But.
Well, if they're nervous, that's okay. Just have somebody let me know that they're not coming. But
all right.
They're the last two.
Okay.
Unless Kendall comes back over there. He disappeared and hasn't come back.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate
all the best.
It.
Bye.
Awesome.
So introduce yourself. Tell us who you are and tell us about your book.
My name is Isaac Roman, and I published my first book known as The Alpha Spirits.
Awesome. And what's that? What's The Alpha Spirits about, Isaac?
Well, based here in Indiana, a boy named Daniel Twist opened a mysterious box in his father's attic.
And you gotta
like
watch
Pandora's,
out for those mysterious,
those mysterious boxes.
Yeah. It's kind of like a Harry Potter book, except it has something to do with more summoning. And he becomes a spirit tamer, which are people who are designed to capture evil spirits, cast away their darkness, so that the alpha spirits become their own thralls.
Very interesting.
Based on what the book is about, it's, like I said, a book about awakening forbidden knowledge. Uh-huh. However, it comes with the cost of becoming obedient with the king of spirits named Celestial.
Wow.
Wow. So now how did you come up with these ideas?
Back when I was 13, my counselor, God bless her, she inspired me to write these ideas I have in my head and write it down, make good characters. I mean, back then, it was, a short novel.
Right.
But then I wanted to publish this, short novel's like 100 pages, but they were like, it's a little bit too short, kid. You might want to write something more bigger.
Yeah, it's more of a novella.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this book has 815 pages.
Wow. Well, you went from one end of the spectrum to the other end.
Yeah. And this all, took place in back at high school. So I've been writing for maybe 10 or 12 years.
Yeah, very good. And when you started writing those stories and about those characters, did you think someday I'm going to publish this? Did you always feel that way, or just that came later?
Well, I anticipated to actually get it published, but unfortunately, some publishers wouldn't, accept someone,
it's
fresh
challenge.
Off the book.
It's
it hard.
Is
oh,
challenge.
Yes. It's very hard to get traditionally published.
Oh, yeah, of course. And, I was still determined to actually get, this one book, published because it's very original.
Yeah.
And I love fantasy so well, especially Rick Riordan's books. He's an amazing writer.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be just like him.
It's a very popular genre.
Right.
Very, very popular.
But not, selling it to like Disney or video.
Right.
I know how they, ruin all the other franchises.
Yeah.
Yeah, the movies are never quite like the books.
Oh, yeah.
So what's the name of the book again?
It's Alpha Spirits.
And where can the listeners find that?
You can find that on Amazon, on KDP.
Okay.
Yep, and I'm going to be publishing my second book, hopefully this year, known as Omni-Legends.
Omni-Legends.
Omni-Legends, and is it related to your first book or completely different?
Okay. It's a second series.
Okay.
And give us your name again.
Isaac Roman.
Roman, R-O-M-A-N?
Yep.
Okay, Isaac Roman, and check out his books on Amazon.
Yes.
And especially if you like supernatural fantasy thrillers, I think that would be a good,
good
time.
Very interesting concept you have there.
13-year-old boys always come up with
great ideas.
So,
well, they always, break, your father's, word saying, do not go up somewhere without supervision. Unfortunately,
that's exactly
that's
what
almost
gonna,
a way to guarantee that they're going to go do it. All right.
Before you go,
we have a
pull a random.
Give me your
question.
First name again. Is it Isaac?
Isaac. Yes, Isaac.
Yeah, these are random questions, and so we've had everybody answer one of the random questions.
All right. So, what question did you get?
It says, share about one of your happiest moments. I guess, you know, my happiest moment is when I was back at the house. It was during, you know, like a new autumn day in September. Mm-hmm. And what came in the mail was my first, you know, copyright from the Library of Congress.
Nice. Oh, yeah. That you is know, a very nice.
That is probably, remember my first one too. That's pretty awesome when you get that in the mail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or, when my first one was actually the first time it released and I knew you could go buy it on Amazon. It's like, wow, this is surreal. It's actually happening.
It's happened, so, yeah.
Oh, congratulations on your first book, and thanks for being part of the podcast.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Well, we've had a great series of guests on the podcast today.
Yes, we have. Very interesting.
And folks out there, please take the time to listen through the names and the books and look up the different authors
on
Amazon.
Something for everyone, from children to everything.
Yeah. You know, these people put, myself included, a lot of work into these stories, and we really love to tell the stories, and nothing means more to us than having someone else pick them up and enjoy them also. So please check them out. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast. Thank you for my co-host coming and spending time with me at Books and Brews South.
Check them out, too.
I don't think I mentioned that. We're at Books and Brews South on South Shelby Street in Indianapolis, across from the University of Indianapolis.
Always something going on here. Check them out on Facebook. Yeah. They're always having different trivia nights or live music or events like this, authors.
Craft fairs, all kinds of things. Yeah. So there's always something going on. And my friend Keith, who owns this place, would actually love to have you come out. So
he's a good guy. Come say hi to Keith.
Absolutely. And we'll see you next time on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.
The Cutter's Notch podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. New episodes drop approximately twice a month. You can email Michael at authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Michael DeCamp is the author of two novels, Abandoned Hope, Cutter's Notch Book 1, and Nozomi's Battle, Cutter's Notch Book 2, a collection of short stories entitled Cutter's Notch Interludes, and one nonfiction Christian devotional book entitled Loving Out Loud, Learning to Love in a Hate-Filled World. All books can be found on Amazon or ordered from your local bookseller. Please join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.